So what is a Buddhist monk doing at a technology conference?
Well, everyone's got to be somewhere. I just have to be here right now. The main reason I'm here is that, again, because of the invitation to come here and to present the spiritual aspect of technology, which is an important aspect of technology. We've been talking about the interface between technology and health and government. What about the interface between technology and spirituality, which is actually goes both ways? Spirituality can enhance technology, and technology can enhance spirituality.
I would have thought intuitively to a lot of people, they would never see a connection between technology and spirituality.
Exactly, so that's why I'm here, to make that connection.
And can you tell us more about that?
Indeed. First of all, the spirituality just can enhance people's creativity, because creativity comes from a very still and peaceful mind. When we keep doing things the same old way, when we don't train our mind to see things differently, we keep on just repeating old stuff. There's no innovation at all. And I know many, many people in science. I told a few moments ago about the Josephson junction, which powers supercomputers, you know, which run at temperatures close to absolute zero Kelvin. And those were discovered by a fellow person in Cambridge, Josephson, who saw that after he came out of meditation. He was a meditator. So he used his spirituality to get this huge creative burst of energy, which underpins modern supercomputers. And that's just one example of like spiritual practices, which if we include that into R&D, will actually make R&D more effective. Why should there be this big barrier between spirituality and the material world?
As you're from, this is Anthony Wong, the president of the Australian Computer Society. Could that be another example when Isaac Newton was sit at the foot of the apple tree and the apple dropped and the city discovered then the law of gravity?
It could have been he was knocked unconscious and went into a deep meditative state for a few minutes, I'm not sure.
I have a question for you too, Arjun. You talked, I saw your presentation today, which was fabulous, and you talked about the monasteries that you run here in Western Australia and in Singapore.
Do you
use any technology within those monasteries at all?
We do. And the talks which I give in Perth are automatically loaded on YouTube, on our Dhammaloka site. It's in the top 50 of Australia of YouTube sites, so it's incredibly popular. So we do take the monastery to people's bedrooms.
Excellent.
So, and this is obvious. I mean, churches cost a lot of money to build a mosque. What do you need a mosque for anyway? In Ground Zero anywhere? Just put all your sermons on internet and let people listen to it wherever they want to listen to it, and whatever time they want to listen to it. Some people say that some of my talks are so good that actually they give them to their kids before they go to sleep at night, and they sort of sleep very soundly. I don't know if that's a compliment.
That's a grand stuff. So we as technology is the impact neutral, in the sense, you know, it can lead to a lot many positive outcomes, it can also lead to a lot many negative outcomes.
Yes.
And as I see, is personally, you in the society have to try and steer that the technology is limited, but it leads to more positives than negatives. How do you sort of make sure of that to the extent possible?
Exactly, that's my role. And part of that role, I was mentioning today, that people in the IT industry, or even people in other industries which use IT, that they make the mistake of working long hours if they're going to be most productive. But instead, they should always learn how just to let go and rest for a few minutes every day, so that when they feel that their mind is getting very tired, and basically their brain is not working to its top potential, rest, sit down, relax, don't do things, but relax. Meditation is a great way of restoring your mental capacity, and then afterwards, 5 or 10 minutes spent in meditation, or just relaxation, you make that up in the afternoon very quickly with greater efficiency.
That's one aspect which you highlighted.
Yes,
I talked today also. What I was trying to think that is any technology for that matter, not even IT, has always in the history had the positive usages and negative usages.
Yes.
And people have used the way they felt like.
Yes.
I think the role of great people like you in the society is to try and go on increasing the positives and go on reducing the negatives. Probably you will never reach zero, yes, to the extent possible. So what steps can be taken along with the development of technology to make sure of this?
Again, it's using that technology to ameliorate the negative effects of technology. In other words, as I was saying, putting these messages out on iPod so they go to actually the people who are using the technology. It's a waste of time giving a sermon, say, in a church about this, when all the old people in the church never use technology anyway. So by putting it sort of on podcasts, it goes to the people who actually need some direction to use the technology wisely. So that's one way of using the medium. And also to make sure that people's meaning in life, the technology is encouraging people to have those relationships of kindness and compassion. And I'm sure we can actually do that either through compassionate internet games or...
Yeah. I have been of the view that this negative aspect of technology can be neutralized by technology itself.
Exactly.
If proper education is given. For example, when a lot of bad material on the internet came, we developed the child lock. We can sort of devise technological solutions to reduce the negative social impacts of the technology. And that is where people like you have to guide us as to what should be done.
I remember one young man told me, he said, there's no sort of barrier which a clever young 15-year-old can't get around. So the 15-year-olds in school, they tell each other how to find the ways around any sort of blocks and barriers. So the only way is we've never been able in the history of mankind to stop people looking at pornography,
yeah,
to stop people drinking. The only way we can do that is, not. This is actually Socrates said this, Aristotle said this, you cannot sort of prohibit by law people misbehaving. You've got to teach them alternatives which are far better. So putting blocks on the internet to stop people accessing pornography or accessing sort of violent sites is never really going to work. It's the reason why people want to watch those sites in the first place, is where people like me should work very, very hard.
Ajahn, things like Facebook and all these social networking sites, you're talking about communication being key, one of the key points that you made today. How do you think these, obviously they're communicating, people can communicate, but do you think that we're losing the art of this face-to-face communication because people just sit there now and just Twitter and...
I think that's a moot point because you know that the sort of people, especially the young people who Twitter, are people who don't have very strong social skills anyway. They wouldn't go to sort of a party and just to approach someone they don't know. So the ability to talk to someone sort of through an electronic means takes away a lot of the fear in communicating with people. I remember like being a young man and just 14 or 15, seeing a nice girl and just being afraid to go and approach her, and girls being the same. So you know, we have that sort of social barrier there because we feel afraid what people might think. But on electronic media, that barrier is not always there. So I think it can be a positive aspect to learning how to communicate in a safe environment, and then as long as we take that ability to communicate, say, over the internet and take that one step further to communicate face to face, that'd be wonderful. So it's not always a negative. I think it's a positive aspect to it.
It's right,
actually
learning. Turning into a positive.
Yeah. But you need to sort of also just meet the people you have on Facebook, face to face. That's what Facebook should really be. Face to Facebook. One of the advantages of being a spiritual person, I think as you've noticed, as we've been talking here, you get sort of novel ideas. Ideas which you don't hear with the people you normally associate with. And that's actually where we get people from so many different forms of, so many different parts of our society. to speed, even though we think, well, what's a Buddhist monk got to do with ICT? But when those two come together, say, get a clown next time, or anything which is totally out of the box, which really shouldn't be here, but you put them here, and just that cross-fertilization of different things, it's amazing just what you can learn, how you can grow.
I agree.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Arthur Brown from the Orihana Buddhist Monastery in Perth, and the interviewers were K.K. Agarwal, current president of the Southeast Asian Regional Confederation from India, and Laura Daniels, chair of the Australian Computer Society of Queensland, and Andrew Colley from the Australian. Thank you very much.
Thanks.